And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
You know, there's no, like, in the intros, you know, 6 months ago, the aliens invaded. This kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. This is the survivor story.
You could totally do that job.
Okay.
Good evening and welcome to Is It a Bicycle? Season 10, Episode 3, the original and bestest ever TV and movie podcast. My name is Stephen Wrigley and I'll be your host for this evening. Beside me, a man who this week told us that women only use 10% of their anger. It's Mike McDonough. Also, beside me, I have a lady who, if asked if she needs a Happy Meal, will assertively lecture on the toxicity of equating consumerism with happiness. It's Shona. I love Canada. O'Flaherty. Live from Vegas, we have a man who says that the best thing about being in a relationship is you can get crippling emotional abuse anytime you want. It's Sean Leonard. And in the red corner, it's our cuddly killer, a man who says learning from mistakes is only for people who recognize that they make mistakes. It's Mark, superhero Leonard.
Or actually make them.
See, I was... Yeah, fuck it. This week, we'll be discussing some movies in the shape of Steve Jobs and Joy, and some TV in the form of Colony. Actually, when I first saw that, I thought it was Colony. Anyway. Of course, we'll have the usuals with the news and some previews, and coming to a bicycle near you. So how are we all doing?
Fantastic.
Hi, Steve.
Good.
Welcome back.
Thanks very much.
Yay!
I'm doing good today, Steve.
Today, I see.
Today is an all right day.
So today's Tuesday, though, isn't it? And we know what all that means.
Well, I want to tell you a little story about Three Shit Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. Sorry, Tuesday.
Yeah. I was confused about the day, but the alliteration still works, thankfully. If it had been Wednesday, I was screwed.
I have a dog. I
have a dog, as you know, and I have a son, as you also know. And there was a day when my son was acquiring more attention than usual. So consequently, my dog got less than usual. Uh-oh. And to show me the error of my ways at paying attention to my son and ignoring him, more or less, he shat 3 times in the guest bedroom.
No way.
Good mm-hmm. job, Neil.
And he's house trained. Like, it's not an accident.
Yeah.
This was... And, I'm saying I paid him not very much attention. I brought him out to do stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I did remember at one point going, actually, he hasn't gone twosies. And thinking it was strange. And it gets worse, right? Because the following day, as I was about to run out the door, I noticed it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, didn't see it the day it happened.
So we're getting a hotel next time we go and visit.
No, don't worry. Like, there's a young child in the house. And needless to say, that room has been fucking nuked from orbit with disinfectant, more or less. But so we're trying to come to some agreement now. So whenever Avery needs more attention than usual, I'd be constantly watching Neo.
Right. Yeah.
Just to make sure that he's not taking the hump of me. I'm not sure how I would know, to be honest.
You know, Mark.
Because he seems to have, like, he gives me those guilt-inducing looks no matter what I do. But today is a good day.
I have to say, Mark, I know all too well that guilt-inducing look that the dog gives you when you don't pay it enough attention, because something similar happened to me over Christmas.
Oh, really?
Only I was at my in-laws.
And it was your husband. No? All right, okay.
I'm just about to have him potty trained.
Okay.
And we had just been busy kind of like looking after the baby, going from one thing to the next. You know how it is at Christmas time. You're kind of having to be all over the place. And just as we were going to bed that night, my husband takes me into the front room and he's just like, look
what I did. sorry. All proud of himself.
I'm a big boy now.
it's a special one for Christmas. Been saving this one up.
I knew I left that ring somewhere.
Oh dear.
Sorry.
I don't think we're going to top that. I think we can call it a night with that. No, he's like, look at this. Look what the dog did. And there was, the dog had pissed under the Christmas tree.
Nice.
It was almost like, it was like
close. And he blamed the dog. Really? It was like, that's brilliant.
But it was almost as if the dog thought, like, this is the closest to green that I can find. So I'll piss under the Christmas tree on the carpet.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were in my in-law's house and I couldn't let them know that the dog pissed on their carpet because you don't want them getting angry that you're bringing a dog into their house and resentful of the fact. So we had to stealthily clean the carpet while his parents were asleep upstairs.
Brilliant.
Hoping that overnight while we slept, the carpet would dry.
Back to the same color. Yeah.
And we pulled it off. They still don't know our dog pissed on their carpet over Christmas.
Wow. It's a good thing this doesn't go on the internet.
Just don't write it up in the blurb, but I think we'll be safe.
I wonder how that could happen. You better be very nice to me tonight, Shauna.
So the check still hasn't arrived. For those listeners paying attention to my saga of my broken TV, I was promised a check last week by a certain individual working for a certain company, hired by a certain broadband provider. And I'm starting to get a bit nervous, frankly. This person was just a pretender, and that he rang me up, and behind him all the guys are going, yeah, he thinks he's getting a check. So, and now I wish I'd paid more attention to hear if I could hear people making sounds like Mike just did in the background. But either way, I am checkless, but I do have 1.5 TVs in my house, which I guess puts me further ahead than most people. So what I was thinking was, the house next door to me was broken into 1.5 years ago. So what about if every time when I go to work, I switch TVs? Imagine the sheer joy if I landed home and they stole the one that works. Sorry, stole the broken one, didn't find the one that works. Oh, the joy. But anyway, I'll keep you posted.
Cool, the saga continues. Right, so what have we been watching this week that isn't on the Sean, what have you been watching? I haven't heard from you. So.
Well, I finally figured out the greatest date movie.
Oh, yeah?
Don't tell me it's the Centipede, because it is not.
No, sir.
No, the answer may still surprise you, despite all those wonderful suggestions.
Saw.
No. It's actually The Pirates of the Caribbean.
What?
Oh, really?
Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. And, you know, there's two reasons why. One, there's a wonderful, fun drinking game to do with Johnny Depp's performance throughout the film. And also, the music is maybe some of the best I've heard in a film in general. It makes the whole evening quite exciting.
Huh. Are you not in severe danger, though, of
watching that film?
No. With your lady friend, then trying to compare you with Johnny Depp and thinking, oh, I wish I was on a date with Johnny Depp.
No, he's dressed as a pirate, Mike. It's okay.
I hadn't worried about that until right this very moment. But now I'm going to have to step away and make a call.
Sean, I think you compare quite favorably to Johnny Depp. He's a great actor, but Jesus, he's not. Like, he was never in the, well, he probably was, but he shouldn't have been ever in the top 100 sexiest men of FHM. A list of which I'm sure you're a part.
I know quite a few females who would lay down on train tracks for the chance to spend 5 minutes with Johnny Depp.
But they haven't seen Sean.
It's true, but I'm sure that they would still love to get his whitey bulging.
Oh, jeez. Get out.
There goes the neighborhood.
Sean, there is one I thought, actually, it was this evening that I meant to recommend to you, is Run Lola Run, if you haven't seen it.
You will not believe it, but I recommended that film to someone last night.
No way.
I started watching Amelie, which is a movie I'd never seen, with the same person I watched Pirates of the Caribbean with, actually.
Yeah.
And I was like, have you seen Run Lola Run? Because Amelie, to me, is just a more quirky, eccentric, calmer version of Run Lola Run, which is fucking great. I love that movie.
And what I really love about it is that the average shot length is 3.5 seconds or 4 seconds.
Wow. Is that the German one I didn't like?
It's the German one you didn't like.
Okay.
And I was listening to Caustic Soda podcast, shout out to the guys, earlier in they were doing one, the subject was running. Mm-hmm. Run Lola Run came up. Okay. And they said they were talking to they were reading an interview with the director or something like that. But the director was saying the one regret he has is that she kept getting feckin' fitter. So he said what they had to do is start lowering her shirt because it's a crop top. So they had to start lowering that and moving her pants upwards, the fitter she got, because she started to get abs and stuff, you know? Anyway, funny. Yeah. So who's been watching Jessica Jones or saw all of it? Or
no, I've been watching it. We were discussing it last week. So yeah. Mark had been watching it. And it's a show I can't binge watch. I don't know if anyone else binged watched it, but I find it's really intense.
It is, isn't it?
It is so intense, and I can't really do more than an episode or two a day, especially now, like the later into the season I get. It is just really distressing.
Yeah, it's hard to watch at times.
Good, but it is hard.
I would binge watch if we didn't have so much stuff to watch for the podcast.
Yeah.
But I was actually watching it with our dad, Sean, at the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they made me watch two episodes I'd already seen and then half of the one that I was waiting to watch. The second episode they made me watch again, I'd watched that morning. So it wasn't even like time to forget it.
Yeah.
No, it's a great show. How far are you, Shona?
I was just going to ask you. I'm up to episode 9.
No, I'm not that far.
Mm-hmm. Is it getting dark or something?
It's
really
dark.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
it was always dark.
But it gets dark.
Just not dark enough for you, Mike, I would say.
I think like the subject matter in and of itself is dark and difficult. And I would say it could potentially even come with a trigger warning for people who maybe need it for the subject matter. But then the way the kind of victim confronting abuser is just difficult to watch sometimes. But then there's other scenes getting into Kilgrave in his past that's just like one episode and then go watch, like, I don't know, Teletubbies or something.
Why?
Go have a beer.
Has she changed her clothes yet?
I don't think so.
Filthy, Mike. Filthy. So yeah, on my hiatus over the last month, I got to see some things you reviewed while I was away.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to give my opinion on your opinions.
Do you have opinions, Steve?
I think our opinion wasn't complete without your opinion, so you need to bring closure to all of us.
Hang on.
Can I ask Mark's a question, though?
Oh, no. What? Yes.
So you didn't have to watch the stuff on the list, so you watched the stuff on the list.
I saw some of it. I didn't see all of it.
Lunacy.
Yeah. Like the Shannara Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
Great show.
What do you think?
Man. Desperate.
So you're on the rest of our sets.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
acting was terrible. Wasn't it?
You know what? You nailed it with the younger actors were brutal.
Yeah.
And it's, well, Mark, look, it's not my thing, but I can see why it's yours.
But what, like one critic called it the next Game of Thrones.
Yes, one.
That
one
critic is batshit crazy.
Maybe the next Buffy. Yeah. But, yeah, that tall tree thing, yeah.
It's nearly as good as Buffy, actually. I would probably agree with you there.
Mark, stop.
Oh.
And the trial, you know, the seven.
Maybe they'll do a musical episode.
Oh, geez, it's terrible. F is for family. Mark, I totally agree with you. It is absolutely brilliant. F is for fantastic. And not fuck you guys. Mike said. Yeah. Yeah, I watched the whole season. It's brilliant.
Really?
It's brilliant, yeah. Now, I have to agree, you do have to take a break from it. Because it can start to stress you out because of the situation that he's in.
It gets too real, as you said.
Yes, but I have to agree, it is the best opening sequence.
Okay.
Tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, the opening credits, character establishment, me and Sean talked a lot about.
It's brilliant.
Mm. Okay.
What else was there?
What else do you have?
I suppose you probably identified with coming back for Korea. Yeah.
The Hateful Eight.
Yeah, what do you think?
It was a long walk in the snow, I have to agree. But I did like the movie. I thought it was great. It's great. I love when Tarantino does dialogue movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of his dialogue movies. And I just love his approach. I love his angles. I love just the scenario that he puts it in. He doesn't try and hit it as a classic Western, but... Mm. He hits it with sort of a reality Western sort of angle, which I like about it. Mark?
You come up with a great idea, Steve.
Yeah.
It should have been called The Hateful Eight, A Long Walk in the Snow.
Winter
then people
come.
Know what they're getting. Yeah. And they'd see the start and go, oh, this must be the long walk.
Yeah.
We'll wait for the eight.
I really enjoyed it. I thought there's some...
All of it?
Yeah.
On the start.
This was the film whose review had a lot of sexual innuendo, because there was a lot of, is the climax worth the build-up?
And was there a climax after the climax? That's all.
I didn't even see the film, so I'm tapping out of that combo.
And you know, it's kind of one I might watch again. Because, really? Now, granted, there are scenes, I think Sean touched on it, that you could have thrown away, like where they're putting the stakes out to make a rope out to the outhouse.
I actually liked that scene, because it kind of characterized the danger.
Yes, it did, and how bad it was outside and why no one left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
But I think they had the same scene in The Thing.
Yes, but I don't think that
in The Thing?
Yeah. I don't think that one was needed, because they'd already established that it's fucking shit out, you know?
Yeah.
With the whole door and the stables and getting from the stables back kind of thing, you know? So anyway, I thought it was a great, great movie, and I didn't see the ending coming, I have to say. I knew being Tarantino, there was going to be something, you know, some angle was going to come along, but I didn't see that one.
Yeah. I didn't hear an awful lot of criticism of the violence against women in it.
He was accused by some groups of being a bit of a misogynist, but then it was pointed out to him that had it been a man, he would have been treated the exact same because he was a prisoner and by a bounty hunter. So they sort of said, look, there's no argument there, really.
So violence against women is equality now?
Yeah, apparently so.
It's, I guess it runs both ways in this
murky
case.
Waters. Yeah, murky yeah, waters yeah, we're in right now.
Yeah. Moving on.
Deutschland 83. Mike, have you been watching this?
I watched the first and second ones.
Yeah, I think
I've watched a bit of it.
Have you? Yeah.
Yeah.
The third one's out today.
What
today,
do you think?
I'm enjoying it.
The ad on TV for it is like, it's now like the coolest show on TV.
Yeah, and that sort of puts me off. Don't do that. You're ruining it.
Don't make it cool.
You've got no merit. Don't try. I think it's really good.
Did you watch This Is England 90? Excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah, it sounds boring. If you say it with a yawn.
Let me try that again. Hey, Steve, did you watch This Is England 90?
No.
Either did I.
No.
Just
no, I didn't. No. Deutschland 83, though, it's set in the Cold War. And it's a guy who is recruited to go spy for the other side. And it's sort of his trials and tribulations, I guess. But it's very good. It's very good. Compelling, I would say.
Oh, that's good. Compelling viewing is compelling, yeah. Great.
Also saw Sherlock,
the latest one. Yeah, the Abominable Bride.
I'm glad you attempted that. Yeah. did you see it by any chance?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, of course. What do you think? I love Sherlock, so I will always watch them. When we were discussing it, we were saying it's kind of neat the way that they did it, because obviously there's kind of layers within layers. It's a Sherlock set in the past, but it kind of illuminates some of the Moriarty stuff of the present.
Yeah.
It was well done that way. What did you think?
I wasn't as sharp as Sean, as in I didn't see the
I don't think any ending. Of us are as sharp as Sean.
No, that's true.
How Sean guessed that ending, I still don't know. I actually lay in bed sometimes awake at night just being like, how the fuck did Sean figure out where that episode was going?
Many people do lay in bed at night thinking about me.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it though, and you know, I love the other angle that they threw in it. I'm saying angle a lot, but I love the way the flashback and the flash forward and how they interacted. Yeah, it was great. It's great.
Very creatively done.
Did you guys happen to see Shadowhunters?
No,
nah.
What's that?
Not yet, but surely it's for review in a future podcast.
Okay, I won't say too much about it then.
Because I really like the look of that. We reviewed the trailer, and I was thoroughly up for watching it. It's right up my alley.
And you know what? I think you'll love it.
I think it's Supernatural meets The Hunger Games. Natural.
It's more of a modern approach on Buffy kind of thing, really.
Buffy was modern. Buffy defined pop culture for years.
Early 90s.
Contemporary.
Nearly 20 years ago.
But that's when it was on.
Right. So, Star Wars. I took your advice.
The machete.
Yeah, like I had seen the six before. Would you believe I still haven't seen the seventh? But I went back and rewatched.
I'd believe it.
Using the 4, 5, 2, 3, 6.
you've managed to postpone watching the new film just to do your homework properly.
I know, such a
you're
nerd.
So like dedication. Grown up.
Did you watch it machete version with anyone who hasn't seen them?
I watched the episode four, with family. And then the rest
risky,
with myself.
Because sometimes family aren't respectful.
Yeah, and I had family dipping in and out of the others as I was watching them as well.
I hate when people do that when you're watching Star Wars. Now, the reason why I asked is because the machete version has a much more powerful reveal about Leia than the original trilogy.
Oh.
So if you go 4, 5,
yeah,
and you're like, what?
Yeah.
His dad?
Yeah.
And then you go back and you watch 2, and then at the end of 3,
yeah,
when you get the reveal about, you know,
the stuff, yeah.
The stuff.
Yeah.
Then you're like, oh my God, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas like in Jedi, when it happens, you're kind of like, oh yeah, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So when he said there is another, that's who he meant.
That's true. That's true.
That's the best sell I've heard so far for going back and watching episodes 2 and 3. So I might consider doing that now. Now that I've been converted to the light side.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about number 7 now. I'm more pumped than I was.
I've seen it twice.
Yeah. Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, can't wait.
Me too, actually. IMAX 3D.
Oh, no way, Sean. How cool was it?
Yeah. It was so good. Like, it was great. Like, the 3D I forgot about, and I haven't decided yet in my life whether that is a good or a bad thing. Because sometimes I like when 3D becomes layering, when it just becomes, you know, you're in the world. But I also really like when shit comes out of the screen and, like, goes for you.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, no. And I spill my popcorn, and it's very endearing. And before you know it, their arm is around my shoulders. So.
Who saw The Danish Girl?
I did.
I put that down, actually, yeah. I thought that was a great film.
Right. Tell us. And is it its nomination vindicated?
So I've kind of been caught out here now all of a sudden. So I saw that The Danish Girl was nominated and I knew somebody would make me watch it. So I decided to pretend I'd seen it so we talk about it here. And I could avoid going on to
the list. Are you serious? You put it on this list that I wouldn't make you go to the cinema for it.
Have you seen it, Steve?
No, I haven't. No.
Balls! The one who was going to save me. So I thought I'd put it on Danish Girl and then I'd go, he'd go, who's seen that? And I go, oh yeah, I saw it. It's amazing. It's totally in the running, like, and I'm behind it. And then you'd give your actual opinion, haven't seen it. Then we couldn't review it.
Mark, I salute your manipulation. Of the list.
Well, you shouldn't, Mike, because it didn't work. If I'd even read a synopsis, I could have been more convincing. But
I think I'm on movies next week, by the way, Mark, and I think this just went straight to the top of my list.
Oh. Don't do it. It's going to be bullshit. It's going to be some Oscar bait bullshit.
Well, you know what? The movie that I select to review next week will be based purely on which movie is for viewing in the mom and baby cinema.
Sorry. What? Burst your bubble. You're on TV next week.
I'm on TV.
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah.
Damn it.
It's the boys are on movies. Fuck. Actually, you know what I did suggest? Released is Room.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's nominated. It's Irish and it's...
I'm looking forward to seeing that anyways. Yeah. I've read it, so I'm...
Already on the list.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
Tune in next week.
So, it's been nominated in several categories, actually.
Best Room,
best screenplay,
but you know what, best room. not as many categories as The Danish Girl, though.
Yes, which I think warrants a viewing, perhaps.
Probably gonna have to, Mark, sorry.
It looks like it's an incredible performance. Like, I want to see it personally anyways.
Well, I've got some vacation time coming. What week are we thinking?
Next week.
Yeah, next week it's out, isn't it? Yeah,
so then next Tuesday night I could go and watch Star Wars again.
There you go.
So Paddy Power has some odds on the Oscars already. And as we're talking about Danish Girl, Eddie Redmayne is 10-1. Michael Fassbender is 7-1. We'll talk about that later. For Steve Jobs. Matt Damon, have a guess.
Matt Damon,
50-1.
And Bryan Cranston for Trumbo is 25-1. But in the lead,
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Will Leonardo get his Oscar at last?
Is he like, what, 2-1, 3-1?
1-10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
There you go.
Yeah, so might be worth tenner on Matt Damon. Mm,
yeah.
or Bryan Cranston, actually. Also, Room is in for the Best Actress, which is Brie Larson.
Yeah, Brie Larson.
Yeah. Saoirse Ronan is next in running, 9-2. Cate Blanchett for Carol is 8-1. Jennifer Lawrence for Joy, mm-hmm. we'll talk about later, is 10-1. And Charlotte Rampling for 45 years, 25-1. So there you go. Mm. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, do you think The Danish Girl would be a better movie if it was actually about, you
a
know,
Danish girl?
No. I don't know. Maybe a girl that wins a year's supply of Tim Hortons donuts or something. Like that.
Oh yeah.
Like what you did there, Mike.
I want to see.
Does a road trip across like every chain.
That would be my dream scenario.
Okay. Next up, let's go to the news.
I think it's very impressive that the producer told you in time to go to the news, because when the producer was producing our episode without you, the producer was forgetting to tell us to go to the news. And the news almost didn't get brought
is
to our viewers.
Why I was a bit late that time.
Yeah. The producer has since been given a pay rise. No, Mark wanted to give him a raise.
Okay.
So that's why you've been given the prompts for the news.
Ah, nice. Okay, news. Jessica Jones renewed for second season at Netflix. I've only two items in use today. That's one of them.
Okay.
Right. Second is my, I'm so excited about this. Stan and Ollie.
Stan and Ollie?
Yeah.
Why does that ring a bell?
Laurel and Hardy.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, the movie's going to be made.
Hmm.
Wait till you hear the casting, though.
Go on.
Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, put John C. Reilly in a bowl cut.
Yeah.
And Steve Coogan with is in a sort of a, what do you call it, those twins that did the Eurovision. One of those haircuts, you know.
Jedward,
yeah. So it's going to be set in the twilight years of the comedy legend's career. The film will focus on their farewell tour of Britain's variety halls in 1953.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, they're still happy to be working together and to keep their partnership alive. And well, but there's a darker undercurrent.
Mm.
Their past comes back to haunt them, and Hardy isn't at the best of his health, let's say.
Mm.
So there you go. Yeah. So... it's all about that. So the filming starts this year, I believe.
I'd be more excited if it had Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
About boat playing Laurel? I see.
Also this week in the news, I don't know if you guys have seen that Netflix has come under fire from network television because Netflix isn't reviewing, they don't release their viewership numbers. So while they claim that their shows are, you know, the most watched, you know, on TV, and obviously we've seen a paradigm shift for how we're all watching television now.
Prove it.
The networks now want them to prove it because apparently it's been leaked that Netflix's Raider rates for viewership are actually comparable to what network television is getting. So there is a bit of tension there between Netflix and network.
Well, allegedly, Aaron Sorkin isn't too impressed with it either. Because,
really?
Yeah, because he reckons it's impacting on theater goers also, which is probably true.
Like people aren't going to the cinema because they're staying at home to watch Netflix and chill.
Yeah, they got Netflix. Why would they?
Yeah.
Because they have to wait 6 months.
Nah, they've got a whole season of fucking Better Call Saul to watch, you know.
Fuck it, I'm not waiting 6 months to see Star Wars. Like,
yeah. Ah, it'll be out on DVD. It'll be grand. Yeah.
Also, I don't know if you guys know this, but I was reading Robert Galbraith's new book over Christmas. This is J.K. Rowling's pseudonym. She writes... crime fiction under...
Why does she do that under a different name?
Well, she actually did it because...
Is this like a brand thing? Or?
No, she did it at first that no one at... I think it was Little Brown Bag or whatever the publishing company is.
Okay.
Where only her editor knew her identity. And she was actually just trying to write without... Because I'm sure as J.K. Rowling, it's going to be hard for her to write anything that isn't going
to be...
Not,
to be good as
I don't
yourself.
Think it's, no, she's made so much money. I don't think it has anything to do with pressure. I think she just kind of... The brand of J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter, and maybe she just wanted to try something new without her canon following her. I don't know, but the secret got out. Like, one of the executive's wives ended up telling someone in the secret set. So now everyone knows.
Yeah.
But she's written this the third or the fourth book of... The Cormoran Strike novels. He's the lead detective in these books, and they're so good. If you're interested, I've never read crime novels before, I read the first one on my holiday this summer because somebody else bought it and was lying around the house. Really good. But at the end of the last novel, I saw a note that BBC is going to be publishing, making a TV show of these novels.
All right.
So
what's it called again?
It's the Cormoran Strike novels.
Cormoran Strike.
Cormoran Strike. He's the lead detective. So I don't know. There wasn't a lot of details when I looked into it about when we can expect to see it on air. I think it might begin filming in this year or next year sometime. But anyways, the BBC will be bringing us a J.K. Rowling production, so that should be really good. Looking forward to it.
Nice.
Speaking of J.K. Rowling, it was finally revealed, given Alan Rickman's passing there during the week, what she told him when he took the role of Snape that actually got him to be in a bunch of kids' movies for about a decade. It came out because he said he would never tell anyone what it was. And obviously after his passing, Rowling herself felt like she didn't need to keep the secret anymore. But basically, she told him the story behind the word always and its meaning to the Harry Potter, essentially canon. So there would be times when he would be on set and the directors, the many directors that the Harry Potter film series went through, from Christopher Columbus all the way through, well, directors would tell him to do stuff and he would go, no, I can't do that. You don't know what's going to happen. I do.
Huh. Interesting.
So I thought it was a nice little story.
Yeah. And it was sweet to see, after his passing that a lot of the Snape fans on Twitter were kind of using the hashtag always. It's very sweet.
Yeah. Mm. They actually went to platform 9 3/4, and made a little memorial to good old Hans Gruber.
Ah.
Nice. Okay. Right. Let's start with the first of our movies, which is Steve Jobs. This is, like we said earlier, written by Aaron Sorkin, who also wrote another tech bio type movie in the not so distant past in the shape of The Social Network, which was quite good by all accounts. This stars Michael Fassbender, Kate Winslet, Seth Rogen. I guess they're the main stars. There's only about seven people mainly in this, six or seven. It follows not the life of Steve Jobs, which I thought it might. You know, it's sort of, you know, I thought there'd be more about his early development in the garage type stuff, and, you know, which would really appeal to my inner and outer nerd. So it's not about his life. It's more about why he is Steve Jobs and why he's known as a bit of a tit and the reasons he was a bit of a tit, allegedly. Yeah, so it's a dialogue movie, some great writing. I have to say, I was reeled in almost straight away. And the only big issue I had with it was the ending. The rest of it was pretty good.
Yeah. It was quite a good ending, actually.
Oh, all right. My problem with it was that it was a little bit melodramatic.
Oh, I thought it was quite understated.
Compared to the rest of the movie, you know, it didn't get onto that height of melodramaticness, let's say, until the end.
I think the proper word is melodramaticicity.
melodramaticicityness.
I'm glad that you corrected it.
So someone needed to.
Melodramatic masochistic.
Masochistic, yeah. I believe that, what's it, Steve Wozniak? Seth Rogen plays, but Steve, he'd seen some early cuts of the movie and said, oh my god, it's like Steve Jobs is up there.
Really?
Yeah, he said it was sort of like him, but he said of Seth Rogen, he's just like, that's bullshit, man, I'd never have said that.
Can I just say, by the way, I work in IT, and for a Christmas gift at work last year, I got Steve Wozniak's autobiography, and I just thought, this is such a nerd gift to give to another nerd.
yeah, you did.
I actually really liked it. Then I found a few documentaries on him, but anyways.
Yeah. So what do we think?
I really liked it, Steve. Like you, I was reeled in right from the opening scene. So they did tell us his life story, but they did it through the products that he launched that mattered. And they used flashbacks to fill in the rest. It was his life story, but with a certain context. It was typically about his products, his relationship with his team, his relationship with his daughter, and the other people around him. And I thought it was like, it was a really inspired way of filming it, to be honest, because when I saw it go on the list, as I often do, I went, ah, Jesus. Because biopics would be right up there with subtitle films for me, to be honest. But I think this was a really interesting way to shoot it, and it kept me interested. Because every time the scene changed, you were going like, oh, I wonder what they're going to be looking at next. What's the next, you know, product going to be, or what's the next scene going to hinge on? And I thought it was really good, really, really good. I thought they captured his actual talent really well. Well, his alleged actual talent. I didn't know the guy, but we know all the stories, you know. Mm-hmm. So what was he good at? It wasn't necessarily building computers, but he certainly was strong in design, and he was just a smart bastard. And that came across in the story. So, like, you know, none of us are ever really going to know what he was like, I guess. But from what the general perception seems to be, this film seemed to do a really good job of telling it. So I enjoyed it. And just as a film, if you didn't care about Steve Jobs or what he did, I think it's interesting in its own right, because there was a lot of almost reeling in the ears type information happening at the same time.
Well, absolutely. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
You know, I don't have a huge interest in Steve Jobs really, because, mm-hmm. you know, I knew about his career and what happened and so on, but I sort of saw it in the list and I thought, oh God, really? Another movie about Steve Jobs? But yeah, I was nicely surprised.
I don't think there's enough there for Fassbender though, to get the Oscar, like.
No, I don't think so either. No.
That was my next question, is the acting performances.
There's been a lot of talk. It was really good.
Tell me about the acting. How did you think it
went? He was great.
Yeah.
How was the accent?
I thought they were perfect. Yeah. So I don't, again, I don't know the guys that they're talking about. I don't watch, you know, I've never heard Steve Jobs speak. I don't fucking need to. I wasn't really interested in watching this film because of Steve Jobs. I put it on the list because of Aaron Sorkin. I just love the way that he writes. But Fassbender, to me, it was a powerhouse. I think that it was subtle and it was on the nose. And the times that Fassbender chose to be one or the other of those things were because of how Steve Jobs was in various times. Like, the film doesn't necessarily redeem him, which I think is the correct course of action. Mm-hmm. Fassbender isn't playing a necessarily good guy. But there's a lot of moments where he'll say something and you won't know if you should believe him. And then that we get the people who know him well, either commenting on that or giving him static about it, or just being in the scene and we can see them act opposite each other. And that informs it even more, but it's very layered. I would say that some things are ambiguous, but they are not in any way vague. And I think that the framing device and the writing really do just give a beautiful stage structure to a really excellent performance. Yes. I'd be perfectly happy to see him walk away with the Oscar.
Very, very stage-like movie, like a very theater-like. Mm-hmm. There's very defined three acts in it. And they mm-hmm. all revolve around just before he goes out to present a new product.
Mm-hmm.
And the first, you know, the first one is the Macintosh. I actually went back just out of interest and looked at the actual presentation from 1984 on YouTube. And then the other two subsequent ones. And they pretty much killed it. Although Steve Jobs had more of a suntan than Michael Fassbender did in 1984. Right. But yeah, they hit it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have too much to say about this. You know, I didn't want to watch it, and every scene that I went through watching it made me regret my decision to take part in the list this week. You know, it was just shit.
Really, Mike? You're going to have to explain that one to us.
I mean,
back it up.
Fassbender was great. You know, I can't complain about him. But it's just a shit story. You know, it's a shit person that made shit products and now he's gone. You know, big fucking deal.
But like, look at the revenue from Apple. You couldn't say that everyone thinks that they're shit. So it's a story worth telling.
He ripped off 2001 A Space Odyssey and made $1 billion out of it. Fair play to him. Yeah. Good luck. Good night.
Was it not interesting? What was it that you actually thought was boring about it? Because it's fine for it to be a film about bad people.
Mike's bitterness jumped in and got in the way of his enjoyment as usual.
He's not even a super bad guy. He's just a bit of a tit, you know. If he was a legendary, epic bad guy, like a Darth Vader type figure, you know, fair enough, I'm all in. But it's just banality, you know. It's a fairly...
How would you say that Steve Jobs or Michael Fassbender's Steve Jobs is banal in any way, shape, or form?
As I said, Fassbender does a good job of, you know, dealing with terrible material. You know, it's not a good story.
So is the material Sorkin's writing, or do you mean the actual life of Steve Jobs?
The actual life. You know, Sorkin...
Of a man who made a worldwide house known
impact.
Brand.
Yeah.
Is not worth telling.
Well, you could...
Oh, Mike.
You could make a movie about the guy who invented tampons.
Yeah, you know? I've watched that. If you
did it as well as they did this, that would be interesting. And you can bet it'd be more interesting, not because he was only a good guy or only a bad guy.
Yeah. There's just no drama, you know. I don't care if your product works or not. I just don't care.
What about his relationship with his daughter?
Like a true support engineer, Mike.
What about his relationship with his daughter? Did you not find that was an emotional hinge in the film?
It just made me dislike the man even more.
I have a feeling that something narked you earlier on, that you saw a polo neck or something, you went, oh, fuck this guy.
Yeah, I fucking hate polo
necks.
That
was it for the movie. I have a feeling there's something that narked you early on. You know,
yeah,
and then that was it for the movie, was it?
Yeah, maybe psychologically, I'm unaware of it, but it probably did hit in, and it just turned on my fuck this switch.
I don't think we should destabilize Mike's points. I think that we should allow his ignorant, subjective viewpoint to stand on its own, just so we can, you know, interrogate it, investigate it, and ultimately discard it onto a pile that we never look at again.
So you never... Did it remind you of Birdman at any stage?
Stylistically?
Yeah, a little bit of stylistic. Actually, that's something I meant to talk about was they filmed it on three different millimeter film.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
For the three different decades, I guess. Or three different,
Decades? Just to have a visual... A different
exactly.
visual
And it was
taste.
Very obvious when they came to 1998...
Mm-hmm.
That it was it's like HD now, you know.
Really?
yeah
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah. But it's very, very subtle.
I think that might be the straw that has broken my back. I mean, I want to see this anyways, but I really want to see this now. I don't know why, but that makes me really interested.
But I know what narked
my point being the Birdman link was he's backstage. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Before these things, and they never actually go and show him doing the presentation itself, you know. So that's sort of
because
you know,
the history.
Yeah.
But it's interesting you bring up Birdman because that's a much better movie.
Okay.
No,
but
it isn't.
My point is they're backstage and he's interacting with these same characters all the time, and there's a bit of rushing around, and there's a bit of talk to this guy for 2 seconds. Yeah, I'm on in 30 seconds, which turns out to be 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing, because he's talked to loads of different people, and it's just they snap from one conversation to another. And I think it keeps the pace up. I can't agree with you that I found it banal or boring. Or I don't think I got a chance to get bored because
it wasn't
so
boring
swiftly.
By the sound of it.
No, just because it moved so swiftly along. You know,
the pacing was brilliant.
Yeah.
Mike, he spends a lot of time at the start insisting that it become a closed system, and I think that just got your back up.
Well, there could be that, yeah.
It would, yes. That could well be the core of my hatred.
Closed system?
Nothing works on it.
Yeah,
incompatible.
Incompatible.
Oh, incompatible.
Yeah.
I hate that about Apple. That drives me flipping bonkers.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. It's also a metaphor for who he is.
Managing iTunes on my Windows computer makes me want to...
I like that show. Yeah.
I think a cinnamon for closed system is shit.
I don't know. It makes you a lot of money.
It does.
Yeah. So, who has something to add?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a Golden Globe nomination for Kate Winslet for her supporting actress role. So I want to hear about her performance.
I think she's actually nominated in the Oscars as well. For the
Deservedly so.
Deservedly so.
She actually had a lot for doing in this.
In my mind, she's up there. Yeah, for sure.
I didn't know she was in it.
Yeah.
Really?
She like, honestly, good. I watched the whole movie. Now, I'm not a huge Kate Winslet fan, but I've seen her in films. Like, she is obviously in the Hollywood universe, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know. Yeah. Like, I honestly, right now, I would be guessing at which character she played. Like, I think I know, but I could be convinced.
I know it involved a brown wig.
It wasn't Steve Jobs, Sean. So, do we want to mark this then?
Oh, fuck.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Mark, we'll start with you.
Yeah, you may as well. I think it's a 7, Steve. I'm very close to an 8 on it.
Mm.
And I'm not sure exactly what's holding me back, but it's certainly the best biopic I've watched in a long while.
Yeah.
But we've seen films recently better than it, so I think it's a 7 for me.
Okay. Mike?
I don't know if you think tech geeks making money are exciting, then yeah, go and watch it. But I was thoroughly bored. I'll give it a 4.
4. Okay. Sean?
It just reminded me how much I can't wait for Halt and Catch Fire season 3 to come back.
I know, I can't wait. Yeah, I know.
I love watching tech geeks do shit. I love this film. I think it's one of the best written films I've seen in a long time and one of the best acted and directed. This is a 9.
Wow. Mm.
I thoroughly agree with you. I was a little bit let down, as I said, by the ending, but it's an 8 for me. A solid 8. Yeah,
I love the ending. I can't wait until it's out really? Long enough that I can talk about it, because my favorite quote is one of the last lines in it, and it's brilliant.
Well, I'd say there'll be a discussion at the Bikies later on this year, so and that's our spoiler podcast, so we can talk about the ending there.
Yeah.
Is this our first 9 of the year?
I think so, yeah.
I think it might be first 9
of the year, yeah. Yeah. Next up, we watched a TV show called Colony. Colony.
So was that intentional?
It was, yeah. Who wants to tell us about this?
I'll do it.
Good man.
Colony. The aliens came. They fought the humans. We lost. Now we live in colonies. This show follows a family in one of these colonies in California and the decisions they must make about whether they will collaborate or join the resistance.
Yes, nicely done. So this stars Josh Holloway, also known as the blondie long-haired dude from Lost.
Mm-hmm.
And what's her name? Sorry, Sarah Wayne. Is it
Callies?
Callies, yeah. Oh, great.
Doctor Tancredi from Prison Break.
Yes, it is actually. Yeah,
Sawyer from Lost. Yeah, Laurie from The Walking Dead, and Doctor Tancredi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I kind of knew that I wasn't going to like this before I started.
How come?
Because Josh Holloway's in it.
No.
And it's not anything to do with his performance or anything, but he's usually in stuff that's not that great.
Do you not like Lost?
Yeah, no, you see, Lost wasn't that. Come on, who says Lost is great? You
know, Lost is great.
No, it wasn't great.
It's great. Yes, it was.
Okay, we've differing opinions. That's okay. And there was something else he was in recently that wasn't great either. Did he have a superpower or something? I can't
Bionic.
Remember. Yeah, oh, that was it. Yeah,
intelligence.
Yeah. And that went a long way, didn't it? So they form. They have a couple of kids. It opens with a normal family having a normal breakfast, but they do a lot of silent nodding at each other and glancing at each other for long periods, and you sort of know something's up. Meaningful glances, you know. Oh, and looking at photos on the wall, and then we see the backyard out the back is covered in razor wire.
Mm-hmm.
You think, oh.
Yeah.
And there's, I thought they'd an orange fetish or something at the start. But it turns out that no, that's their only source of food at the moment. but anyway, it's an interesting concept, but we've seen better. I think
I was gonna say it's a concept we've seen before, though.
Yeah. So earlier this year, we had
The Man in the High Castle.
Man in the High Castle. There's also the one we're living in that town. What do you call it?
Wayward Pines.
Wayward Pines, thank you. Mm-hmm. We've had...
Which were boring and dumb.
Shut the fuck up, Sean. You don't know shit.
We've had Robot Overlords.
Uh-huh. Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah, and they're all sort of the same type of thing. And this is just another sort of... I'll take a bit from that and a bit from that. And we'll get these two guys in that people kind of recognize. And then Is It a Bicycle say, it's kind of crap. And no one will watch it.
Yep.
Yep. That's how it's all anyway.
That's very mean, Steve.
Anyone beg to differ?
I do.
Okay, tell
us. I like Man in the High Castle, and I like Wayward Pines.
I like both of those.
And now that they've merged the two, I like it even more.
Oh, really?
what did you like about it?
I particularly like the opening scene because you have, you know, the knowing glance or whatever, but there's a thing about an egg.
I didn't get that.
Without telling us anything, they have showed us that they're poor. It starts off with a suburban LA thing, you know, could be Beverly Hills 90210 or whatever in the very first few seconds. And then you see him trying to rescue the egg that he has
dropped on the floor.
And bang, suddenly you realize these guys are poor as fuck and that egg is a big deal to them.
Mm. Yeah, it does make you notice that resources are scarce. That was kind of what stuck out. Yeah,
and you didn't have to have a backstory conversation. Do you remember when the aliens came? And so I appreciate the fact that they made the effort to show us rather than tell us.
Man, I've seen you spill beer, mop it up, and squeeze it back out. don't tell me that was such a significant thing.
I think what Mike is trying to say is that it was a really good explanation.
Oh! Don't worry, get your coat, man.
No, I'll edit this later. So,
and it is very much in the Wayward Pines vein of bringing you on, revealing little bit by little bit what's going on. You know, there's no, like, in the intros, you know, 6 months ago the aliens invaded. This kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. This is the survivor story.
you could totally do that job.
Okay.
So, like, I don't have the instant hatred that you do for Mr. Lost Guy. I thought he was good in the role.
No, I'm not saying I hate him. It's just that most of the stuff he's in isn't great. And I sort of recognize that when I see him.
Like Lost, one of the most famous shows ever made. Yeah.
One of the biggest disasters ever made. Yeah.
In your opinion?
Yeah. I thought the kids weren't too offensive. It's always a big risk in a show like this, having kids.
There's no drooling on yourself.
Oh, God.
They managed to not drool on themselves.
Yeah, they try and bring in, you know, smaller story arcs for particularly the son. He's obviously going to have a little rebel thing going on.
Bet you it'll be a girlfriend.
Probably will. Yeah. There may be a little bit of tension. Yeah, some kind of conflict. Yeah.
Oh, he'll go missing. He'll run off with her somewhere.
Could you imagine if that happened? Wouldn't that be so exciting?
Yeah. Go on, sorry.
It would, but this, I think, what's missing for Steve is that he's not American. This is tapping very much so into the American fear of a police state and the right to bear arms. And there's nothing that Americans hate more than the idea of being disarmed and having cops telling you what to do.
I thought it was a police state, isn't it?
Not quite yet.
Oh, okay.
Wait till Donald Trump gets in.
Yeah, they seem to make a lot of noise anyway, but okay.
So I think this would have a lot more emotional impact in the States than it would over this side of the water.
Yeah.
And I think generally it wasn't badly acted, you know. I'll take the point that there's a lot of themes that we've seen before, but I think they've taken the themes and done them reasonably well, and I did enjoy it.
Okay. Okay. Who else saw this?
I'm going to weigh in with Mike there, Steve. I quite enjoyed this as well.
Okay.
So there's a lot of tropes we're familiar with, but I like the delivery much as Mike has said. I thought there was a couple of things that stood out for me. The kids in this are good. I know we've kind of covered this, but there's a scene on the bleachers at the high school that I thought was really good because it begins. And again, this is a lot about the way the show is written and the way they like to introduce concepts. But it begins as a standard American high school scene, and then it transitions very quickly into something different. And it's done seamlessly and well. And I thought it was well enough acted that it carried a bit of gravitas. So I think there's a lot of good things about this show.
This is, I think, really well cast. Josh Holloway gets to do a role that I haven't exactly seen him do before. Like, he's a father of a family. But because he's so handsome, you're like, you know what? If he ends up being better at fighting than maybe he should be, I'll believe it. That's fine. So I appreciate that a lot. I go back and forth about whether or not I like Sarah Wayne Callies and her acting. But I love her in this. One of the great things is that the tension is heightened for everyone, because if you need something, whether that's food, water, medicine, guess what? You have to fight for it. You have to do something to get it, whether you trade, you beguile, manipulate, whatever it is that you got to do to get it. And I like that. I like that there is a constant hum of pressure and tension. And it really makes it real when you realize, look, there's certain things that you could do to alleviate the pressure. There's certain things that you could do to make life easier on yourself. And that is all acted really well when we see one of the characters in this who is recurring, if not a main character, who I'd love to learn more about. It's a great performance. Is he was in House. I don't know his name. I just know he's great at acting.
Yeah.
They really specifically made the character and the actor Jewish in this as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which they reference and is kind of pointed.
He looks a lot like Steve Carell.
I was going to say, he's a Steve Carell lookalike, yeah. Isn't he? Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But no, I was really excited, and I really, so I actually got to see the premiere of this at Comic-Con. They had a bunch of soldiers in the uniforms of the guys in the show, ferrying people around, in rickshaws and stuff, and in Ubers, and it was pretty cool. So I got to see the premiere and ask some questions, and one of the things that I complimented them on was the sex scene in this. There's a love scene between Josh Holloway and Sarah Wayne Callies that I just thought was really well acted. And I was like, how the fuck did you guys just show up, you know, pilot episode day one, and now you have to, you know, do this on like one of the first days of shooting? Turns out they made a movie together like 10 years ago when they weren't famous, really. That never got released because they weren't famous then. But they had like some love scenes in that. So they got all their like nervousness and shyness or whatever out of the way. And they would like run into each other at various, you know, probably because they go to similar conventions and events, you know, because of the types of show that they're usually in. So they kept in touch. So basically they came back to, you know, have this relationship in the show, both after having had kids and being able to add that and their various maturations to these roles. And I think it really paid off. And I genuinely care about their relationship, even only after the pilot.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think their relationship was one of the more interesting aspects of a show that I found personally otherwise fairly boring.
My respect for you has gone so high up right now.
I only review Steve with the hopes of gaining your respect.
Nice. Well, tonight you earned it, Shona.
With every opinion I form, I just think, what would Steve do?
I know.
It's just,
I know.
Just dripping with irony.
So this pilot myself, when I was watching it, I found that there was too much samey that we've seen before.
Yes.
And while there are elements that are done well, I think, Mark, your observation about that high school scene, although it didn't really stand out to me at the time, I think you're right that they did it very seamlessly, moving from a very kind of natural, everyday high school moment to something that is quite different from what any of us would have experienced in high school. It does show that scene was written really well. I also agree with you, Mike, that, you know, the fact that they could use an egg to tell a whole backstory, also done really well. The relationship, yeah, it's interesting, but all of those things to me don't combine into an episode that I was very interested in, and it doesn't kind of come into a future that I want to see more of, because I can tell you, having seen this kind of struggle before, what the future episodes will be based on, potentially what the season finale would be based on. You can almost plot the arc yourself without having to watch it.
Yeah.
And it does.
But if you don't watch it, you won't know whether it will surprise you or not.
Sorry, Steve just got pom-poms out and I'm very distracted.
So you couldn't see him, but I could see him behind him just nodding, going, you go, girl. Yeah, and sure. All that in a bag of
Steve,
chips.
Take that fucking bunting down, will you?
No, so, I'm telling you, you're dead right. Yeah, you just
so Shona and Chuck agreeing with Steve review.
We're going to rename the podcast. Yeah. Shona and Steve agree on.
Yeah.
That's a fair point, though, Shona. I see exactly what you're saying. You could just rattle out a list of conflicts that are going to come up. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But isn't that what a pilot's all about, though?
No, I don't think so. I don't think good pilots are. Because a good, like, billionaire that we were talking about recently, you know?
Billions,
sorry. I haven't seen it, but it was because of your review that I'm really looking forward to seeing it. Mm-hmm. And the way that you've described it, that doesn't sound like a show that I could tell you what's going to happen, because the characters are kind of playing against archetype.
Oh, well, I'm glad you mentioned that.
I could probably tell you a bunch of things that are definitely going to happen in Billions.
I'm glad you mentioned that
there will be other things as well.
Yeah, and I think this show is going to be like that too. I think they're going to surprise us in a few places.
Sorry, finish, Mark. Go ahead.
Because there's like, I think what we've talked about so far has been fairly straightforward, but there is great scope now for character interaction around betrayal and, I guess, questions of integrity.
Oh, God.
And just a lot of good stuff.
Riveting.
There's a lot of good stories to tell in this, I think.
Man's got to do what a man's got to do.
Yeah, you see,
a man's got to do what a man does.
It's true, but is it going to be original? That's my fear. I don't see it. It's not. Had it been a year and a half ago, I think that's it. It's a year and a half too late.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, had it been a year and a half ago, I may have been a lot more interested, but it's already a trope.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes you see things that you know how they're going to end. Like, rom-coms are like that, and you can still enjoy them.
Well, that's
but
true.
This is a plot-driven show.
Every
and
superhero
you know.
Movie, you know how it's going to end. Yeah. You know? So, yeah, that's fine.
Steve.
But I don't want to see that stuff again, because it was shit the first time, you know?
Do you know why tropes are tropes?
Tell me, Mike.
Because they're good. People want to see them.
Yeah, trope is like French for good.
Oh, God.
Much like San Diego, loosely translated. Okay, looks like we're not going to agree on this one.
I don't think so. There's a divide.
Well, that's okay.
That's okay. That's why we do the podcast, so that we can fight.
Okay, thriller or filler, Mark?
Thriller for me, Stephen. I can't wait to watch more.
Jonas?
It might be 2016's Terra Nova.
Or Z Nation. Sean?
It's thriller from me. I have higher hopes, I think, than many of you, and I will be reporting back.
Okay. Mike?
Totally bought into this.
Wow.
Thriller.
Not surprised there. Yeah. Shona?
This is filler from me, Steve.
Nice one, Shona.
Fist bump.
Yeah, filler from me as well.
Do I get a pay raise now?
Oh, totally. You get a bonus anyway.
She gets paid?
Shit.
There's no glass ceiling in this podcast, Sean.
Sean never heard about the checking account.
What did I mean to say to you? Billions. I wanted to come back to that.
I was going
to
say your eyebrows were popping out of your head, so tell us your thought.
Yeah, Billions. Brilliant show.
Is it?
Oh,
yeah, it sounds really good.
Oh, I can't wait for more.
I was on Metacritic earlier, and I saw like it was one of the shows that everyone was talking
really?
About. Yeah. I really want to see it.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's a great show. And
it's up there with Mr. Robot for me.
Yeah, you know what?
Which I also really
want to
see.
You know what? It's quality, you know? Well, the pilot was, anyway. The rest remains to be seen. But so far, I'm very impressed with it. And there's been a few... sort of twists and turns that I didn't see coming, and the acting's great, the dialogue's great, the writing's great, should I say. Yeah, can't wait for more. Paul Giamatti and Damian Lewis, fantastic. Mike, actually, I do remember you talking about this.
What did I do now?
you commented on the start and the end of the episode. I knew you would. Anyway, you'll have to watch that.
It's just
to,
a thing.
To find out. Yeah. Okay, so next up we've got the second of our movies, which is Joy. Who wants to tell us about this?
I will. So Joy is a film that IMDb describes as the story of the title character who rose to become founder and matriarch of a powerful family business dynasty.
Spoiler.
It's the story of Joy Mangano, I think, or something like that. I should check it. Anyways, starring Jennifer Lawrence. We also have Robert De Niro and Bradley Cooper as co-stars in the film. And it's basically the story of a housewife who's, you know, working as part of the family business of a garage. And she comes up with an idea for a mop. It's called the Miracle Mop, but it looks a lot kind of like the Swiffer.
As in the Miracle Mop?
The Miracle Mop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's the founder of the Miracle Mop.
Oh, right.
And so she has this idea, and Bradley Cooper owns the QVC station who sells to Kmart and stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
And so that's where their relationship, their business relationship is formed. Robert De Niro plays her father. She's got a bit of a messed up house family life. The dynamic between her half-sister and her parents is a bit messed up. So she's working really hard. She basically makes no qualms about the fact that she wants to make money. She wants to be successful. And she really believes in this idea. But of course, things, the business end gets a bit murky, and it's a bit questionable whether or not she will be able to make her millions on this idea. Hmm. So we see the story being told of how the Miracle Mop came to be.
Oh, so I gather from you, then it's a blue collar success, entrepreneurial success story.
It is, but one thing that should be noted is that it's based on this life of a real woman.
Yeah.
But everything I've read about it is calling it only semi autobiographical, okay. And that there's actually quite a number of fictional elements of the story that we see in the film.
Okay.
Although the general truth of, you know, Joy inventing the Miracle Mop. Yeah. And becoming...
So there's a bit of artistic license in there. And,
there is, and they've been quite open about that, the fact that there is, some fictional elements to the story that we see on screen.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
Okay.
So did anyone else see this film before I
yeah,
jump
I saw
in?
It. Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
Well, no, I'm interested in your opinion, Shauna, because this is this passes the Bechdel test, I'm pretty sure, a few times.
Yeah, it does. I think that's kind of what it
is. So instead of a man, we're talking about a mop. Does that pass the Bechdel test, really?
I guess. No, she talks
what if
to
it was a male mop?
She talks to her her sister-in-law about business.
Okay.
And
a
she
lot,
talks
yeah,
to
and the,
other okay, business passes, investors oh, yeah, yeah. who are women. So what drew me to the film originally was that I liked the idea that this is a film about a woman who is just kind of saying, you know, I want to make money, I want to be a successful business owner, and that's her priority. Normally these, you know, tales of success stories are men.
Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting to see a woman, especially in the era it's set in of the 70s, kind of determined to make, you know, a business idea lucrative for her and use it as a launch pad into becoming the founder of a very successful enterprise. So I thought that the story that they wanted to tell was interesting. Unlike Mark, I do like watching biopics. I find them interesting. I think almost any subject matter, even a film about the founder of tampons, Mike, could be interesting if it's told well.
I still can't believe Mike went there, to be honest.
I know. I hope it was female. I invented it, and I hope that movie is made.
So I didn't know this was a true story going in, which probably helped. I didn't know it was a biopic. Had I known it, I would have questioned how we choose our content for the podcast.
Two biopics in 1 week.
Yeah, shouldn't we spread that shit around? Either way, what's the word I'm looking for? In principle, I hate this film, but those big parts of it I liked. And I've been struggling to reconcile that within myself since I watched it.
What elements did you find yourself liking? Was it the acting? Was it the story? Was it the setting?
Thank you for breaking it down for me, Shauna. It's so much easier now to understand.
Just spell it out for us, Mark.
Was it the intro, the middle, was it the end?
If I was telling someone the story...
Was it the words they use or the pictures we saw?
If I was telling someone the story of what happened in this film, right? Say someone like myself who's into the action-y films that I'm into, they would just go, I'm never going to watch that bullshit. And that's what I would have said as well, had I known the story going in, because literally all I knew about this was that it was called Joy and ye fuckers are making me watch it.
It's kind of like for me, Whiplash, when I try to convince people to watch it, I'm like, it's about jazz drumming, but it's actually, like, it's good.
Yeah.
It was funny because I messed up last week when I was doing, I was singing a part of a song and the musical director goes, is there a Mars bar on the floor? Why are you looking at the floor? Straight out of Whiplash, and then someone else picked it up and went, was he rushing or dragging? Rushing or dragging? And then he goes, who's out of tune? Somebody's out of tune. Anyway, it's probably, these jokes have probably been made by musical directors the world over.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. So the story, when you think about it in the abstract, is boring as all hell. Someone invents a mop and is successful. Hooray. And I think we would probably pick out the elements of the story that are fictional and introduced for the benefit of the movie or the book, whatever. Because it did seem like she had, you know, a near incredible amount of struggle to achieve what she had achieved. But, but that aside, they kind of, that broke immersion for me a little bit because I was just going, ah, Jesus, can anything else go wrong with this poor devil? Like, but what I did like was Jennifer Lawrence's performance, and I did like the family life. I wouldn't have minded seeing a bit more of that. But on the main, it there wasn't enough of that to keep me interested, and I was quite happy when it finished. And I thought the way it finished was weak. It was one of the weakest endings I've seen in a film ever. There's a couple other things that I didn't like. It was using a voiceover, I thought, in a very awkward, just awkward way, that didn't contribute nearly as much. I thought, like, there was just a lot wrong with it, you know, that detracted from Jennifer's performance. Because I thought she was really good. They should have given her a bow and arrow, granted, and it would have been a lot better. But failing that, I think she did as good a job as she could have done that role. I think it probably is Oscar worthy, I think. But
do you really?
But I didn't actually like the film, though. So
yeah, do you know, I agree with you. I think that the film is really overrated, and I think Jennifer Lawrence's performance, she's just so likable. I find most characters that she brings to the screen, she just brings a kind of realness that is good to watch. I enjoy watching her performance. But it's about the only thing, there's a lot I didn't like about the film as well. I think pacing was a huge issue. I think directorially, David Russell made mistakes about how this story was told, and the pacing is all over the place. And I think the point that we need, like, what happened, because this was one of the films that came to the mom and baby viewing at the local cinema, so that's how I got to see it. And at one point, my daughter shat herself, and I was holding out, having to change her, hoping that she would wait till the end of the film. And she was happy out. She was just, you know, she wasn't complaining, but then she began smelling, and then I could see other moms smelling their baby's bums to see if it was their baby, and then they're like, oh, I've got to go change her, because she was feeling squishy. And then the time it took me to go change her outfit and bring her back in, and those few minutes, all the important things I needed to see had happened and resolved, and the movie ended. And it was just terribly done that way. And I think all the things that the movie is building up to is what I would have liked to see the foundation of the film be, and build on it, almost starting there or thereabouts and moving forward. So I think that the pacing was a huge issue. But I did find Jennifer Lawrence's performance nice to watch, but I don't see a lot in this film that is worth maybe all the buzz.
Well, she's been nominated.
She has been nominated.
The Oscars.
Yeah,
actress in a leading role.
I'm just thinking, on your daughter's 21st birthday, you're going to replay this episode, aren't you?
Oh, I can't wait till they hear about the husband doing the thing under the tree. Class.
I think you ought to have been a bit harsh on this movie.
Really? What did you think?
Oh, Mike, do you just decide to disagree with all of us?
Yeah. Oh, come on, Mike.
It's his MO.
Tell us why it's brilliant. I want to know.
It's brilliant because I saw Steve Jobs first.
Oh.
And this was a...
No polo next then.
This is a welcome relief. You know, here is a good, solid product that everybody needs and is compatible with every floor in existence.
Oh, so it wasn't Steve Jobs you hated. It's what he stood for, or what
he made.
Watching that's your problem.
Every fucking Apple product ever made.
Right, so that's your problem with it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And even the movie they made about it is shit. Yeah. No USB drive and shit.
Fucking bullshit.
Goddamn iTunes.
Can't copy my fucking files.
Seriously, though, iTunes drives me bonkers.
I
just needed to say it.
No, I just got rid of it. Yeah.
So...
But I like these general entrepreneurial kind of movies, you know, and I thought this had an awful lot more tension than the Steve Jobs movie. You know, there was so many things going wrong for it. I was kind of rooting for it. I was like, come on. Ah, Jesus. No, that's just mean. And I thought Jennifer Lawrence was good in it. She carried the role well. And you know, she did get me rooting for her. So, you know, it's not the best movie ever made, but it's certainly, given a choice between watching this and Steve Jobs, hands down, I'm going to watch this.
Okay, but with this film on its own then, let's pretend this movie Steve Jobs does not exist.
Okay.
How would you rate this film on its own merit?
It's not bad. You know.
Okay, is it like pay to go to the cinema, not bad, rent it for a night in, not bad, or watch it for free on an airplane when you're a captive prisoner, not bad?
Yeah, I'd rent this on DVD.
Oh. Okay,
so it's worth a fiver to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a good DVD rental. And I think it'll do quite well when it hits that market.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't believe you gave a free pass to Steve Jobs. And now you're fucking shitting on this.
I would like to shit on this movie more.
Go, Sean.
I really like David O. Russell's films. I think he makes really powerful, emotional movies built around good performances and relationships. A lot of the time with people who have these huge goals and are a little bit starry-eyed in their pursuit of them, or perhaps naive or eccentric or some version of that. For example, Silver Linings Playbook is amazing. Also yes. Starring Jennifer Lawrence.
And Bradley.
Bradley Cooper and Robert De Niro. I love that. Might even be a better date movie than Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
Probably would be.
Sean, who's that written by, actually?
Silver Linings Playbook? Yeah. The book or the...
The screenplay.
I don't know. What? I think it was based on a book. I don't know if it was the same guy who wrote the script or if it was adapted.
Oh, God. Because, actually, just give me a second because I was talking about this earlier.
I had a whole bit, though, that I was going to do there.
It was David O. Russell. Sorry. It was David O. Russell. That's who it was.
Yeah, the director that I'm talking about.
Yeah. He also wrote the screenplay. So, yeah.
Cool. Also directed American Hustle. Hustle.
Yeah.
Starring Bradley Cooper,
yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence, and Robert De Niro.
Correct.
I think that both of those movies have dialogue that is a little bit fanciful. That as characters, they're a little bit fantastical. And there are good reasons for that in those films. Silver Linings Playbook is about people with mental issues, with addictions, with just general problems existing and coexisting in society. Mm-hmm. American Hustle is a fucking crime caper where a bunch of people are conning each other. So this kind of exaggerated language and performance suits that kind of a film. The film that we watch, Joy, is about some people who run a business. There is no place for the kind of bullshit dialogue that was in this movie constantly for it to be in any way realistic, believable, or useful to driving the plot.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of Bradley Cooper in Joy, perhaps because one of his main roles was, this is how the real world actually works. So I still liked his performance in this movie. Jennifer Lawrence is good. But she's not great, which is unfortunately the same thing I have to say about the movie. Mark is completely right about the completely unnecessary and labored voiceover, the narration, with a twist that everyone saw coming, because it's the same twist that time pulls on everyone who has ever lived and ever will. I sound really, really upset and unhappy right now.
Yes.
But it's an okay movie. Like, it's not the worst movie in the world. I just hate how many things they did wrong with a lot of really good pieces.
Just give yourself a hug, Sean. You'll feel better.
I do it every day. One thing I will say is that Jennifer Lawrence was on Graham Norton there on New Year's Eve. She was actually talking about how this is based on a true story of a woman, but it's also just based on a bunch of true stories put into one story about one woman. Of women that just inspire David O. Russell. That's kind of interesting.
Yes. Nice one, Sean. Okay, do we want to mark this?
Yeah, let me have a think here.
Okay, well, you're thinking I'm going to start a mic.
I thought this was all right. It's no classic, but it's watchable. Certainly when it comes to DVD, I give it a 6.
A 6. All right. Okay. Sean.
I give it a 6. I agree with Mike. It is watchable. It's not great.
I don't think Mike understands the rating system.
I know.
It's a 6 for me as well.
I'm kind of surprised by your mark, Mike.
What is that?
Your mark, Mike. Because you're kind of gave the impression that you liked it a bit more than the six.
Well, I got the impression from the reviews that were going on here that you guys were all thinking twos and threes.
That's B level category, Mike. That's what we give your films.
So I felt I had to stand up and defend Jennifer's honor.
No, that's okay. Six is above average, and that's okay.
Right.
Cool. Shauna.
Do you know what's funny? I'm also going to give it a six because I think a five means it's bordering on don't bother watching it. And I think watch it, but just don't pay to go to the cinema. Like, watch it on an airplane when it's free.
Okay.
Or
DVD.
Watch it when it comes on TV next Christmas or something.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's it. Six.
Okay, cool. Might be on YouTube soon, actually.
Bear in mind that Steve Jobs got four.
From you. And a nine, Mike. Okay, so next up we'll have some previews. Coming to a bicycle near you. So the first one we saw was 999, which, Sean, you say contains major spoilers.
I think that this film will be very good.
Tell us
about it. I think that no one should watch this trailer.
Okay, tell us about the movie then.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, I would too.
It's basically a cops and robbers caper with a bunch of great character actors. You have Woody Harrelson, you have Casey Affleck, and it's his like first day in a new unit or with a new partner, played by Anthony Mackie. And there's some robberies going down around town. And basically, it's, it looks like it's going to be a conflict between family, work, friends, but with a hail of bullets going around. And at some point, they're going to issue a 999, which is an officer down.
What do you think of this?
I didn't wholly understand what was happening in the trailer. I mean, I knew that there was robberies involved. And, you know, I had read Sean's heads up that there was going to be a spoiler in the trailer. And I finished watching the trailer and I turned to my husband and I was like, so what's the spoiler? And he, like, he told me what it was and I hadn't even copped on that there was, anyways.
A thing.
As a trailer, I kind of got that there was going to be, robberies, tension. I didn't understand some of the more detailed nuances of who the main characters would be. I was only interested in, was it Kate Winslet doing like a Russian accent?
Yeah, and Teresa Palmer's in it. Gal Gadot is in it. Aaron Paul is in it. As Sean said, Woody Harrelson, Casey Affleck. Yeah,
Winslet. She has like one line in the trailer, but it sounds like she's doing a Russian accent. And that's the only thing I saw in this trailer that I'm like, that's cool. But yeah, it doesn't look interesting to me. Also, I don't like capers. Would you watch Russian?
It's not. I don't think it's capable.
IMDb tells us.
Very scary.
A gang of criminals and corrupt cops plan the murder of a police officer in order to pull off the biggest heist yet across town. The biggest heist yet across town. It must be a big town.
Yeah.
With very interesting heists. That's all I'll say. This looks like cannon fodder, as do most people that are in it. I don't know. I could take it or leave it, I think.
Hey, you can't go wrong with Woody Harrelson.
Well, that's true.
Russian Kate Winslet.
Now I see where it's coming from, yeah. Okay. We may or may not give it a look. Mm. Yeah. 10 Cloverfield Lane was the next one.
Stars. Well, that looks class.
John Goodman.
Yeah. Well-made trailer.
You know what? Yeah. There's not enough movies with John Goodman being made these days.
Amen.
Yeah, so the rumors abound that this is a sequel to Cloverfield, but it's not. Apparently.
Really?
Apparently.
But
apparently.
Like at the end of the trailer,
that's so
the only word that comes up is
the
word Cloverfield, and then 10 and Lane come up on each end of the word Cloverfield. So clearly,
it's a prequel, I'd say.
I think it's just going to be tangential. I don't think that you need to have seen Cloverfield. I don't think that any of the characters from Cloverfield are necessarily going to be into it. The one thing I do know is that JJ is really definitely not going to tell us fucking anything about this movie.
Well, make
it in secret and then drop the trailer on a random day because he feels like it.
I wish Paddy Power was doing bets on this because I put a bet on it that has nothing to do with Cloverfield. I would say it's a chemical attack of some sort, right? And John Goodman saved the two people that are in it, pulled them out of their cars and into his survivor
bunker.
Den.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And mm-hmm. that's why he's like, don't fucking go out of the place, blah, blah, blah. Right. So that's what I think, right? Mm-hmm. But why, right? Mm-hmm. Because I don't think there's a big monster sitting outside, so that when she looks out the window, mm-hmm. the only window just mm-hmm. at that time on the whole Earth, that there's yeah. the Cloverfield monster, right? Also, this is filmed completely differently. It's not the first person cam footage or the shaky camera running around place thing.
Which is good.
Yes, it is very mm-hmm. good. Yeah, I'm kind of sick of those. But they're my main reasons. Also, they made
the
this...
The Cloverfield monster was contagious. They had to put people down when they were infected.
Yes. Yes.
So there could have been a million Cloverfields outside the door.
Exactly. Oh, that's true. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't hear that angle. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they made this in 36
it's
days.
My angle.
I
made up that just now.
Oh, did you? So, made this in 36 days, and I believe for a very, very, very small budget.
Mm-hmm.
Like 5 million.
Wow.
Like Ooh. Tiny budget. Yeah.
John Goodman's fee,
yeah,
4.2 million.
That's exactly what I said earlier. Yeah, it's like 80% John Goodman. Oh. Yeah.
I have to say, this is the best trailer I've seen in a long, long time.
It is good trailer. Yeah.
Really when it
good.
When the trailer opens, there's the music going on and they're playing games, whatever. I thought, oh, Jesus, this is another fucking bullshit fucking movie. I'm never going to watch
Here's
this.
Here's another movie that should be called Room.
Yeah. And, you know, after 30 seconds, I'm like, hang on. After 60 seconds, I'm What?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And after 90 seconds, oh, I'm totally watching this fucking movie.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great trailer.
But I think Sean's right, given that J.J. Abrams went to the directing school of Secrety Secrets, we won't know until it's out.
No.
And even then, we probably won't know.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah.
He may not even be the director as well. I think he's just like producing and is probably the guy coming up with all these things. Because wasn't it Drew Goddard? And or Damon Lindelof, like a couple of like Lost alums who did the first Cloverfield.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So like he may not have any more to do with it than just, you know, it'd be really sneaky. You know, people would love. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for him. I don't know why he's such a creepy trick player, but in my head, that's what JJ's like.
Cool. The last one we looked at is Free State of Jones.
Man, I can't wait for this.
This stars Matthew McConaughey and Kerry Russell. Mm-hmm. And it's...
Is that Matthew McConaughey? I thought it was Christian Bale.
Was that Kerry Russell?
Yes. they all had
Straight
a bit of...
makeup, yeah.
They all had a bit of clean dirt on them there, yeah. So this is about, you know, during the American Civil War, there's a group of people that are kind of outcasts. They're deserters, they're runaway slaves, they're and so on. And they lead a group of rebels against the Confederate Army and set up their own county called Jones County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, yeah, Jones, Free State of Jones. Mm-hmm. So,
and it looks like it's going to be all right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a very much... an occupation movie,
mm-hmm.
I think, and a rebellion movie. As it was, rebels, yeah, rebellion movie. So.
It's a war drama.
Yeah.
It's almost like there's some aliens have taken over the world and some people are going to collaborate.
And there's a big they put a big wall around it.
Yeah. Which side will you choose?
Yeah, you could be right, Mike. You could be right. Yeah. And could there be like an underground movement?
Imagine that.
Unstable the state itself. Oh, we'll see.
Maybe some people that have a history, you know, the government are trying to get them. They got to hide out.
It's actually unstableify.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah.
War drama is boring. I don't want to see this.
Ah, Shona, come on.
No, I don't.
There's loads of dirt.
No, and the way that Matthew McConaughey talks.
Of dirt.
Nope.
Does that help anything?
Kids with guns.
It's harder to see their faces. You love it.
Muskets and shit. Sean, did you see this?
I did indeed. I think that there's a very particular type of person that will need to see this film after 5 seconds, or perhaps even after only hearing the name of it. It's definitely pandering towards a specific kind of American, what's the word?
Person.
War buff?
No.
Buff,
like
buff? No.
Parading American exceptionalism like freedom is the only thing. It's, I don't know. I'm just really worried freedom that it's going to be a manipulative.
It's the only way to be.
I think it's going to be a manipulative, tricksy movie where it does things like, look, do you see how the ladies and the people of color and Matthew McConaughey can all agree on one thing, that we need guns and to set up our own areas that we control and the government can't say shit to us about it. That's the American way. Let's fucking do it.
Right. And no new taxes. Read my lips.
It might be fun, though. Like, for all that, it might actually be like a fun war drama thing. I don't know. It might also crumple under its own weight of really trying so very, very hard to be serious.
And to make it look like it's a history drama, but to rewrite history in a way that never came close to happening in America.
So there are problems.
Yeah. Just on that subject, Sean, pandering to the Reds.
Yeah. Right.
Have you heard of this movie, 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi?
Yeah, so 13 Hours, right, is a movie about Jim from The Office, okay? And Pam, his wife from The Office, is in Benghazi. She's a Pambassador. So he has to call a cold manila envelope, and he's going to have to rustle himself up some boys from the paper company, and they're going to have to storm the castle because they're not the first responders. They're the last resort.
Yes, exactly.
Freedom isn't
free. Shit, what's that movie? Freedom, I want to see that movie.
It's 13 Hours, it's called. It's out next year. Or this year, sorry.
It's literally, it just came out, and I'm definitely going to see it. It might be the worst thing in the world, but it looks like it could be fun bad.
Oh, it looks like hilarious bad. Actually, our good old buddy David Constable's in it.
He is indeed. Yeah, he seems like he's going to be in three scenes, and after every one, he's going to wash his hands and collect his paycheck. I think that John Krasinski's performance, it will be interesting to watch as well. I think he very much took this role to try and not be Jim from The Office anymore, and to not only get indie romantic comedies. Like, he's trying to look like Bradley Cooper from American Sniper.
Yeah.
He wants some of Emily Blunt's Edge of Tomorrow. He wants some of his wife's Edge of Tomorrow money. That's
maybe
what this movie
could
is.
Be that as well.
That sounded like it could be the first 10 of the year for me.
But wait, Mike. There's more, Mike. Guess who's directing it? Who has directed? Michael Bay.
Oh, no.
Oh, perfect. All the stars are in alignment.
There is only one movie this year, folks. You heard it here first.
Oh, God. Oh, God, no. Actually, the guy who wrote it, the screenplay, he also had
Was that Jesus Christ?
I know. His name is Chuck Hogan.
Close enough.
He had a hand in The Town. And what was the other one? The Strain.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah, the best TV show of a couple of years ago.
Mm. Well, yeah. So, yeah. So it's based on a book, Mike. So you can go ahead there. Michael Zukoff wrote, or Mitchell Zukoff wrote it. So you can get a head start there. So, nice. Yeah.
So can I do that all too pretentious? You know, well, I read the book.
Yeah, I read this the book, but the movie isn't as good, you know.
I'll be doing that next week when we review Rooms.
So. Yeah, but Michael, you know, I read it in Latin back in the day. You know,
so. Fuck you, essay.
Yeah. Off of some vellum.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's all we got for this week. Yeah?
Sayonara.
So from Mike, Mark, Steve, Sean and Shona. Stay classy.